Reading from the Corinthian correspondence from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. And this is about divisions in the early church. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh? And behaving according to human inclinations, for when one says, I belong to Paul, and another says, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. We cannot help but come to the conclusion that humanity is split. Can we? Really? We must help heal it. The end. Let's go eat. Oh well, I'm up here. Someone asked me, do you really write down that stuff that you say? And they asked it just like that. Most of it, no. But I have been reading an interesting book lately by a guy named Harari, and the title of the book is Sapiens, and it's a history of humanity. It's one of the books that made every, you know, all the big guys on the internet, who I'm talking about, Bezos and what's the other rich guy and Bill Gates and all the rest of them. This was the only book or the only author that was on all of their lists. So I thought I would check him out. Wow. Sapiens is about our 2.5 million year history. Some stuff I didn't know that I found out from reading this book. Did you know that at the same point in time, about 70,000 years ago, there were different members of the Homo genus walking around? Our species is Homo sapiens. We named ourselves that. You know what it means? It means man the wise. Oh, boy. But there was Homo erectus. There was Australopithecus right before then. There were Neanderthals. There were as many as 7 Homo species at the same time on the planet 70,000 years ago, and none of us were the highest on the food chain. None of us. That didn't happen until almost about 40,000 years after then. What happened is those first hunter-gatherers discovered fire. And that allowed them to cook what they ate, and it released the vitamins and other stuff in their food that eating it raw couldn't, and their brains grew. Fire gave us mental power. After then, we started farming. It was called the farm culture. They decided rather than hunter-gatherers, they would be farmers and they would raise domesticated animals. Fire gave us power. Farming made us hungry for more, because that's when the first notion of private property came up. For hunter-gatherers who lived here and there, there was no such thing as private property, maybe the spear that you carried. But once we settled down and started farming, then we started private property notions. Farming made us hungry for more. And then money, private property, gave us purpose. And what was that purpose? Well, to get more money and private property. You know that's true. And then finally, along that line, science made us deadly. It wasn't until perhaps in the 20 to 30,000 year ago range that we came to the top of the food chain. Wow. Question, and this is a question Harari asks, and I ask you, can our species ever find a commonality in our diversity that will help heal the destructive tribalism that is tearing us apart? Listen to that again. Can we find enough commonality in our diversity to not kill each other off? In his letter to Corinth, Paul speaks of the early divisions. I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. And that meant that I was baptized by Paul, or I was baptized by Apollos. There were already factions in that early church, and this was written sometime between 50 and 60. So 15 to 30 years after the crucifixion resurrection event. Wow. They were saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos. Are you not merely human? Surely, if we pray, and thanks, Joan, for bringing that. Oh, there you are. Thanks, Joan, for bringing that. She asked me what I thought. I said, wow, that was tough. It was tough to hear. It was necessary to hear, but it was tough to hear. Okay, surely, if we pray hard enough and long enough, God will heal the split in humanity. Surely God would answer that prayer. Listen to these words. I used to pray that God would feed the hungry, or do this or that. But now I pray that God will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us, and we change things. Mother Teresa. Surely, if we just follow what it says in the Bible, everything will be made right, won't it? Listen to these words. It is Christ Himself, not the Bible, who is the true Word of God. How do we begin most services? In the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was with
God.
And the Word was
God.
And the Word became
flesh.
That's the Word of God. The Christ is the Word of God. The word that John used there was logos, and it meant creative wisdom and power. It was the creative stuff of the universe. Listen to these words. It is Christ Himself, not the Bible, who is the true Word of God. The Bible, read in the right spirit and with the guidance of good teachers, will bring us to Him. However, we must not use the Bible as a sort of encyclopedia out of which text can be taken for use as weapons. C.S. Lewis. The beauty of the Christian Church Disciples, as we've said so many times, is our diversity of belief, our diversity of understanding the place of Scripture, our diversity of understanding even the place of this table. For some, it is a good tradition brought forward. For others, it literally is the Christ feeding us. Question. This is a question for us moving into the future. How can we at FCCC, or FC3 as I like to say, how can we here in this place help to heal the split in humanity? Your thought right now, well, you know, Wayne, you're getting kind of grandiose there. You know that old 10-word saying, all the words have two letters. If it is to be, it is up to us. Well, me rhymes. Okay, question. What did Jesus say the most important thing was? Remember when he was asked, the lawyers trying to trip him up? What did Jesus say was the most important thing? Okay, yeah. Love. Okay. Got all four. Love God and your neighbor as you love yourself. That is it. He concluded with, you know, all the prophets together. That's all that they meant. Wow. I saw a sign on Facebook the other day. It was by Brave Church, and I wanted to share that sign. In fact, it was shared by one of our members. Love thy neighbor, no exceptions. Thy homeless neighbor, thy gay neighbor, thy Muslim neighbor, thy black neighbor, thy immigrant neighbor, thy Jewish neighbor, thy addicted neighbor, thy Christian neighbor, thy atheist neighbor, thy disabled neighbor. They left one out. Thy redneck neighbor. I used to drive a black Ford F-150 pickup. I'm from Lubbock. You think this is the heart of redneckery? You're not even close. Give me the high plains of West Texas. And I know that it's hard to, you know, what do we list? We list everyone. There would be a list for everyone in that, except the sign was only so big. Jesus didn't make exceptions, the sign says. We don't either. That means to me that one human being has exactly the same valuable nature given by God as every other human being. That doesn't say that some human beings don't act bad. And sometimes loving them might mean restraining them. But we are to love everyone. Everyone. Wow. And when we hear it, see it like that, I think we might say that we need to get to know our neighbors better. Our neighbors of different faiths, our neighbors of different lifestyles, our neighbors of different nationalities, our neighbors of different socioeconomic circumstance. And we must include them in our circle of trust. We must become evangelists of acceptance. Paul began that with the church in Galatia, didn't he? Because he told them flat out, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free, nor male, nor female. You are all one in Christ. We must figure out how to do that. It'll be fun. Amen.